This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. You're listening to The Cowboys Podcast, presented by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, Jono and Steve-O.
Cowboy Nation, how the hell are you? I am doing great here. Steve-O, how are you, my man?
You know what? We went through our pre-show stuff, and I held back some stuff. I might need some counseling today. I don't know. I'm kind of all over the board on some stuff. My mind is like a pretzel. It's full of stuff in there. I mean, a range of topics. I know we'll get to some of them. Some of them we'll have to just go back and I'll have to get back on the couch and confess to you.
Control your pretzel talk, because Rodney, our man here, he had his gallbladder taken out. Rodney, how are you?
I'm alive. I'm alive and well.
You can't anything like that for a while, can you?
I guess the procedure, the technology behind the procedure has definitely improved over the last handful of years. So I'm not like completely restricted, but you know, I got to give it a week or two and go see my doctor.
You'll lose some weight
again.
Too, won't you?
Hopefully. Heard he sold his gallbladder on the black market. How much did you get on that?
$9,000.
I'm thinking about doing it.
90,000 big ones.
How do you make? Yeah. Hey, how do you make $7,000, $8,000, $9,000 real quick in this country?
A play in a fantasy league like you have, you son of a gun, you.
Oh, that's all he talked about at lunch tonight.
As well he should. He put a team together. And I tell you, I gave him a couple players that were very crucial on the stretch run for him.
Oh, without a doubt. I was on a rebuild year. Folks, this was fantasy baseball.
You were taking money under the table.
And
that's what it was.
Busted. It was fantasy baseball.
Look,
it's a long,
you guys can't even look at me with this
long season, and I was on a rebuild. John, who had the best team of all time. I mean, this team. You won about 75-80% clip. I mean, you were
more.
It was unbelievable.
I only lost two games.
You were kicking everybody's ass, and then you just kind of hit a buzzsaw with one scrub team out there.
One scrub team
beat you,
right,
but it made it easy for me to get through the semifinals.
Right.
I appreciate that, bud. I really do. And my bank account and my home mortgage. And
anything for you. For my co-host here.
For Cowboys fans, right?
Cowboy
we would
fans.
Do that for Cowboys fans.
You know what? I know, Rodney, that he would be spending it on something that involves around the Cowboys. So why not another fellow Cowboy
I am
fan?
Doing a Dallas trip. So, John,
we're all going, though, John. Did he not? He didn't feel
I didn't get that one. I didn't get that one.
That's what it's for.
So my other thing is I made a – so fantasy football started, and I'm in a league. I'm in multiple leagues, obviously. Our Cowboys podcast daily thing fills up in like 20 minutes every week.
Really?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. But it's an open one. So anyway, so I'm in a fantasy football league, and there's another Cowboy fan who's been trying to like fleece me, and I felt I was on such a euphoric high from winning the baseball that I actually made a terrible, terrible fantasy football trade. But he's throwing in a bottle of Johnny Walker Blue for that trade. So, and it was
that's
a free
$150 bottle.
Two something. But it's a free league. Okay, it's free to get in. And this guy's got a pretty good team, and he needed a couple players to kind of put him on. And he's a big Cowboys fan.
And, it's
Johnny
Blue,
Walker Blue. So I asked Rodney, and he goes, yeah, it was a bad trade, but I think he ended up on the plus side of that one. And it's for a Cowboys guy,
dude,
too.
Dude, you have just been doing good lately. You've been on a roll.
I've been on a roll. And speaking of rolls.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of rolls, our Cowboys have been on a roll. what do you mean?
No, that's what I was setting it up for. Cowboys are on a roll.
Cowboys are on a roll. And speaking of that, when the game started, folks, before the game, our players, you know, here's the thing.
We getting our political talk out of the way right now?
Right now, I want to get this out. I want to get this out because we had this. I heard it from Cowboy Nation on different sites and all that. Wait, the Cowboy. I don't want to hear from Cowboy people. Oh, I'm not going to watch the Cowboys and all that. They did not take the knee during the national anthem. All right, they took the knee before the national anthem, as well they should, to show a little bit of awareness, The players deserve to do that. I mean, honest to God, the entire NFL is doing it. And these guys, you know, they felt obligated to do it. And why not? I mean, the entire group is out there doing it. And the Cowboys are standing there saying, I wish to God I could do it. But if I got an owner that's saying if I do it, I get fired, I don't feel good about it. How cool is it that you've got an owner that says, I'm going to put a blueprint together that I'm going to make both sides happy? And I think they pulled that off brilliantly.
Yeah. I think they did. So here's my dilemma. I'm a conservative, middle of American white male. Okay,
no,
Christian white male.
I've never seen that.
Yeah, absolutely. Midwest conservative, middle-aged white Christian male.
And folks, so, I'm the white guy that's the Democrat guy.
So the deal is that you're torn.
Whatever the hell you want to believe
in
me,
but you're torn because without the Rosa Parks or the sit-ins or the countless other acts that at that time probably seemed to a conservative, white, Christian, middle American male like just an atrocity to the nation, you got to look back and go, okay, well, you got to have some sort of movement for progress. You got to always be progressing.
Right.
Okay? And to understand that at the end of the day, everything is about the dollar. Okay, I don't give a shit what it is. You just follow the money, and well, you will find out.
Yeah, you sure cuss.
Oh, I know. But well, you just follow the money.
Go to church on Sunday and say, you're
"Yeah, sorry. Exactly." You go. All you got to do is follow the money, and I think Jerry Jones understands that.
Churches do that too. Follow the money. Go ahead.
They do. All right. Without a doubt. So Jerry Jones comes up with, or, you know, I know Witten and Larry Fitzgerald were parts of it as captains of the respective teams, of coming up with something that they could show there's a cause out there that they want to bring attention to,
right,
but they don't want to be disrespectful to the conservatives out there, which
not
is probably
concerned. They don't care about it. They I think they don't want to be disrespectful to the military.
The military.
That's
the,
it.
The
flag. I don't think they care about the conservatives.
You're absolutely right. It is a bad choice of words there. But anyway, so they came up with a great plan. I found it to be tasteful and hopefully got their point across. I just wish the media would focus more on that type of stuff as opposed to I haven't heard too much talk about it since it happened.
Well, no, because it's not a lightning rod thing. Like,
right.
It was a good thing. The media doesn't talk about good things. So I'll just give my two cents real quick and keep it simple. I'm glad they decided to do it as a team, and I'm glad that they decided to stand up for the anthem. That's it. Like, that's all that's it.
Right.
I don't need to go any further. I don't want to talk about my political backgrounds or beliefs or do any of that. I'm just glad.
Well, you're not
a Christian
either. You are a Christian, right?
I'm a Catholic.
All right.
Cafeteria Catholic.
Long
years and years
sessions,
and years.
Yeah.
But anyway, just the overall point is they came together as a team. They showed some solidarity as a team. They made a decision as a team.
Yeah.
You know, and then they still stood for the anthem. That way they kind of, you know, they checked two boxes off, right? And not it didn't have to turn into a shit show. It didn't have to turn into anything, you know. But underlying theme, they did it together. That's all I care about.
Yeah. I definitely think that it was due. I think this awareness has to be out there. I think everyone should be treated equality in this country. And I definitely think that the Cowboys, a high-profile team, if we are America's team, let's act like America's team and take a step. And we took the best step of any team in the NFL by showing what – I mean, what we did was like a team like in soccer before the game, how they represent something that's happening around the globe and they have some sort of a tribute to it as both teams get together. And that's what we did. And I think that pays more of a homage than showing some sort of a anger on one side. Almost unifies everyone, and that's what we're trying to do, aren't we? We're trying to unify everyone to get along and get this thing going the right direction. We're not trying to split, and we're not trying to divide. And my God, I'm sure those black players are appreciating that and everyone else is out there that's saying, you know what, finally something good is coming out of it. And you know what, I'm definitely for, we gotta get ourselves awakened by all this now. I mean, we have to see what's happening out there in the public, and hopefully, and you know what, I'm buying into what the NFL players are doing, because now you're starting to see people starting to wake up and say, you know what, it's going to take a high-profile player like this to do something like this for everyone to get their attention. Now it's even got Jerry Jones on his kneeling down. I mean, that's if you're going to change one or two people, that's a big change. So anyway, folks,
enough of the political talk, right?
Let's get on to our Cowboys. We lost to Denver, and it seemed like we're off to a bad start against the Cardinals. It seemed like, hey, what the hell's going on here? And we changed things around, boys. What did you guys see? What was going on in the first quarter that we didn't even have the ball that much?
You know what was – I mean, I think it was through like a quarter and a half. We had maybe run six plays, and we were getting dominated again. We didn't have necessarily the missed tackles that we had the previous week against Denver, but Carson Palmer starts off 11 for 11, just picking our defense apart. Larry Fitzgerald looks like he's, you know, 26 years old again.
Ageless.
He's catching everything, running all over the field. We can't guard anybody. The runs are going for 4 and 5 yards. And they just controlled the ball and controlled the clock. And they made us look very, very pedestrian, very mediocre at best. And I don't know what switch flipped in the second half with DeMarcus Lawrence, but woo.
Whatever, regardless of what happened with him, thank God that someone had to step up and make a presence known, and he thankfully was the guy that did that. What concerns me is that yet again, it was only for the first half this week, but all of last week and then the first half of this Arizona game, we did not play our game. We had to play our opponent's game. And Arizona did to us is what we're supposed to be doing to them. Control the ball. Control the clock. We dictate how the game is played. We dictate the tempo. And, again, I think we are fortunate enough. I don't think Arizona is a good football team this year. I think they're going to be down. I don't, you know. Regardless, we got the win. That's all that matters. You go on the road, sometimes you got to win ugly. And that's all fine and dandy. But what I saw, or what I'm continuing to see, is that our defense – particularly our secondary, it was a theme last year, and it's carried on into this year. They're going to have to be better, especially if our pass rush is not getting to the quarterback, which it did not in the first half, which is why Carson Palmer had all day to throw. He was picking us apart left and right. Once we finally got pressure on him in the second half, especially in that fourth quarter, you saw the difference. I mean, that was just plain and simple the difference. So our Achilles heel the last season and into this year has been what? It's been the secondary and our pass rush. So when that's on, we're in great shape. When it's not, we've got some problems, especially if we're not running the ball like we need to. And we didn't do that in the first half this week.
If you're not seeing the score right here and you guys don't see the score, you guys don't know what the hell happened, and you guys see that time of possession right there.
Oh, yeah.
36 minutes.
Total number
23
of plays,
minutes.
I mean, yeah.
And you're looking at this going, how bad did we lose?
Right.
And this is amazing.
But that's what we use. When we win, that's what we do to the other team, right? That's when we're doing what we want to do, that's how our stat line will look. We dominate the time of possession. We have more plays than they do. We run the ball. We run play action. We control the clock.
Right. Is there anything out there that really you say besides the possession? Besides the possession time, was there anything that stood out right there that you said, wow, I just can't believe it's that lopsided? By the way, let's get to that in a second here. I thought the officiating was excellent. I thought
they let them play.
They let them play, and when a referee called something bad, there was another referee that jumped in and said, no, he was out. And they really – it was like they were covering each other really well. Officiating, top-notch this week. I loved it.
I agree with you. And, even the penalties, and if you want to talk about that, we talked about that with the Broncos last week. I mean, Von Miller looked like he was offsides on every play and was just getting a great jump. DeMarcus Lawrence did a little bit of the same this time. I mean, he looked like he was getting a good jump off the ball, off the snap, and really just wreaking havoc in their backfield. And if that's what it takes and you're gonna get a couple of 5-yard penalties that way, I'm all for it because the guy was just an absolute monster.
I thought he was a monster, man, and it's a hell of a – it's his contract year.
This is
when you're supposed to shine too. He's doing what he's supposed to do. Didn't I bring this guy up early in the preseason that I said he's looking damn good? And I tell you what, there's a guy that's coming back. I think after this coming week, Irving, on one end, and then you got this guy on the other end. Wow, you're gonna have a nice. And then you get Taco in there coming in. Occasionally learning a little bit from these two.
And you just hit it right there. Taco was a little,
I think folks, here's the deal.
This, once again, I'll reiterate it for the 1,000th time. This is a fan show. We don't get to see the film. We watch the game on TV.
Okay. I got that up here too, by the way.
I know, but we don't
sit down and spend 4 hours breaking down.
Right.
Yeah.
But to me, you know, from a fan's perspective here, Taco, non-existent.
One tackle. No QB pressures, no QB hits. You know, he really wasn't much of a factor there.
Smith, not really around, right? Sean Lee didn't look like he was all over the place like he had been in past games.
I thought our middle always seems to be exploited on the pass. I think our middle just seems to get worked over. I don't know what it is, man.
I can tell you what it is, Jono. It's because we're not getting pressure on the quarterback enough. When we do, you cover up your secondary and your linebackers when you get pressure, because the linebackers they're required to cover, you know, mostly in a zone scheme, and they have to go sideline. Two guys have to go sideline to sideline, right? In the middle, you know, between the hashes is just up for whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're not getting pressure, those guys, and I don't think even the best defenses will struggle if you're not getting pressure on the quarterback.
That's
my opinion.
I thought the whole thing shifted when that guy missed, when that Cardinal missed that field goal. I really thought right then and there that, hey, if we kept these guys, here it is too. When he missed this field goal, I said, all this time of possession, we're going into the 14th mark, into the second quarter, and they're only up 7-0. Are you kidding me?
Right.
And then Elliott broke one to the outside. I said, now things are alive here. 8 minutes into the game, we got things going again.
Yep. Well, but that's still my concern with the overall trajectory of the season's gone is that, you know, we did the same thing against Denver and the game was over. We're able to get away with that against Arizona because I don't think they're that good.
You're downplaying Arizona a little bit too.
I don't think they're a good team.
I still think they're a good team.
It took an overtime last second field goal against Indianapolis. They got train wrecked by Detroit in the first week. They gave up 35 points to them. You know, I don't know. We can agree to disagree on that. I just don't think Arizona's that good.
Rodney, are you more concerned about our secondary or our offensive line?
Secondary.
Jono?
I say our offensive line right now because our secondary looked pretty damn good at the stretch run there on the second half. They looked like they were getting tighter. And you know what? They're younger guys. I think they're adapting better. But our offensive line, they got no excuses sometimes on how they're – blocking scheme seems to be going. You'll know what I'm saying. I'm looking at the one hole, the three hole. They're okay on the inside holes. The outside is where I'm worried about because they don't seem to flow out there. And Zeke can't do it on his own when he gets to the outside like that.
Well, I'm with you. I'm more concerned over our offensive line because we're giving up sacks. were not getting on blocks and making the holes for Elliott, which takes us out of our game. And Rodney, it leads into what you've been saying. The other thing we do, folks, is there's a text train that we have between all the guys that are on the podcast. During the games, we're usually kind of going back and forth over things that we see. And Rodney, you kept mentioning you got to get Dak moving. You got to move the pocket, get him outside, let him go with his feet, throw on the run, those sorts of things. Well, that's not quite what our offensive line should need help doing, but we're having to do that just in order to keep these guys from keeping their ears pinned back and getting after us and putting 9 in the box. I mean, that number 44 for Arizona was on our back. I mean, we didn't block him at all. I don't think he got touched at all during the game.
Now, when I think that the reason why I answer the question the way I did is with the secondary being my concern, don't get me wrong, the offensive line is a 1B. It's right there. It's close. But I think that we have enough talent on offense that we can scheme around that. We can call a game that can help cover up that deficiency right now. And it took until the fourth quarter this week, but we threw the ball deep downfield. Just see what happens.
Here's what I'm saying to that, though, Rodney. If the offense is three and out.
I agree.
Your defense and your back, your defensive backs are out there most of the game, as they were in this game, you're going to see much more separation. And I just can't see. The one I'm having problems with right now is Collins on our offensive line. Oh. He's having problems, folks. And he seems to be getting – it's not like last week he got the same – Lyle Collins from number 71. I mean, he's having problems. He had problems last week, and once again, he's just not getting off that. They're getting off that ball a lot quicker than he is. And so I don't know. It's an issue that I think it's worth looking into if you're Dallas Cowboys, because this may hinder – something happening in the future. I mean, I hope we don't get hurt from it. I mean, it's always been our downfall with Tony back there, one of our offensive linemen, letting something happen. But in any case, our defensive line's been really solid. This new guy, too, I don't know if he's new. He's had a couple years into it. Number 96, Collins Malik. Is it Malak?
Is it Malik?
Malik, yeah.
Malik.
I'm so good with that. But he was solid. He was solid there. They only brought three guys in.
Yeah, three guys in,
and they were doing a damn good job.
And he picked up – did he get 2 sacks this week on his own?
On his own, too. He was outstanding as well.
But either way, he was in the backfield a lot. Absolutely. Yeah.
When you're crushing the pocket like that, you're going to make something happen.
Right, and that just shows that in the second half they made – the necessary adjustments, both offensively and defensively, and they were able to say, okay, hey, we're going to get helmets on guys in front of us and move the pocket a little bit and kind of soften things up so Zeke could get to work. But defensively, you know, to drop 8 back into coverage to give those defensive backs a little bit more help, clog up the middle a little bit to allow those 3 guys to get after it. And Palmer, you know what, obviously, his best days might be behind him. I know he's getting a little long in the tooth, but, you know, he started off hot, but very, very susceptible to the pass rush.
What could he do, though?
Well, I just don't think he has what Dak has, where I think Dak has the escapability to get outside the pocket, where Palmer only has that ability to step up into the pocket, and now all of a sudden you got Malik Collins crushing down on you.
Right. And nowhere to go.
Yeah, and the end's coming in hot and heavy, so he was probably his own worst enemy there. I would hate to see a guy like, you know, Rodgers. I think we're going to have problems with a guy that does have that escapability outside the pocket. You know, we got several coming up. I'm not sure what the Rams are going to be able to do. That guy's not. I mean, he's getting better. He's progressing. But he's not where he needs to be to the Rodgers level that following week.
I was, again, very impressed with our defensive line on the note that we were stopping the run. We were stopping the run good, too. I think they only had one burst, and that was for like 6 yards.
Yeah, but you're not stopping David Johnson. you know, that you're stopping Hightower and whoever else they had back there. Chris Johnson, yeah.
Ellington.
Ellington. You didn't. You weren't really stopping a premier back that you really need to get a test on. So,
did they even have Hightower back there?
Yeah, I thought Hightower was back there too. Somebody check that on your computer.
We don't know
was
who
it,
the
might have
running
been Ellington.
Back is. That should tell us all we need to know.
I think Hightower. Maybe
I was thinking about the 2014 season.
Yeah,
it's all right, man. That's what we're talking about. But you know what? Yeah, again, our DBs, our young DBs, they're learning and they're playing all right. They're playing all right, folks. When will you give them the little love there, Rodney?
I need to see them do it against Denver, Colorado, Oakland.
That had to be him over there.
Gallbladder surgery.
Oh, Jesus.
Against Denver, Green Bay, you know, Atlanta. Like, we've got some teams that are going to be able to throw the ball all over the place on us. That's when I will, Jono. When I see it consistently, that's when I will start giving them some praise. And I'm not saying they're terrible or they've been awful. But, you know, at times our pass rush kind of goes away. It's been better. It's been good. It hasn't been consistent. So until I see the consistency all the way around, then I'm going to continue to say we've got some things that we got to get better at.
Of course. There's no question about that. I was very happy with our wideouts. And didn't I bring out to you guys last week, if Witten doesn't get involved in the game, it seems like we do better. Mm-hmm. It seems like we do better. When Witten's really involved in the game, it seems like we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing.
Well, remember, I think, and I'm not in there in the offensive game planning, but I think Witten is a check down guy. I don't think outside of a third and four or five, I don't think he's usually a primary target. So when you see Witten with six, seven, eight catches, it's one of those things where you're right. We've gotten to the point where we're probably not doing very good.
Well, yeah. And every time I seen Skandrick on a play, he seemed like he was getting burnt or there was a yellow flag being dropped on him. As a veteran, I think that you're the one that should be teaching these younger guys, hey, you know what? This is how you're supposed to be getting the job done. And it seems like they were abusing him left and right.
Or hurt. You know,
I seen the hand.
The hand was bad. I get it, man. That's rough.
But Jesus, every time it happens to you,
it was a leg. It was a hand. It was, you know, this, that, the other thing. But
even on these highlights, it seems like a Skandrick highlights.
Well, and I gotta be honest though with you,
when we
signed him to that the latest deal. We signed him as if he was going to be like a number one or two. I've thought from day one since he's been on the team, he was more of a slot guy anyway. Mm-hmm. So I got to be honest. I think that either Jerry, the front office, or just the business, or you know, behind how you have to structure your roster, I just don't think that he's not a number one corner.
Right.
And I don't think he ever has been. So I don't know why the expectations changed all of a sudden when he got the new deal. Did you think that all of a sudden he was better than what he was before?
You're right.
You know, what? I don't.
Just
and I'm not
money,
trying, and it's not trying to be rude to him. Go get your money, do all that. I just don't think that he ever was a number one or two to begin with.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? I think our DBs are getting better though. But I think we should have signed one player back there that could have led them in the right direction. That's what I would have won. All right. So that's what I'm thinking on the
So you go to Skandrick. I want to go to Dak Prescott. Can you put his stats up there again?
Of course I can, my friend.
Once again, inside the pocket, I think the pass rush was getting to him a little bit, Rodney. And he didn't look like he was much of anything right there. And then all of a sudden they started moving the pocket, getting him outside, and his – is there a better guy at throw? Can you name anybody better than him throwing on the run? There might be guys just as good as.
Yeah,
I mean, say Aaron.
Aaron Rodgers, pretty damn good.
Yeah,
but
yeah, I think he's even better because the fact is he knows how to pinpoint that sideline and that window is so narrow that I don't think our guy's there yet, but I think give him a couple years, he'll get it down. But I think Aaron's still the man on that. Or like you were saying, though, what was his stats? Passing 13 for 18. And when we were texting, I said to you, and I said to you, Rodney, throw the damn ball.
Yep.
Stop throwing these 3-4 yarders. We're drawing the defense close every time, and we can't run or anything. When you throw the ball downfield, look what it does to Zeke. It helps Zeke out to where now you spread the defense out a little bit. You give number 21 at least some air to do something on his own, and that's what happened
right
here.
He had a nice catch by Terrence Williams. He had a nice catch by Bryce Butler down there. You know, you have got to throw
the
ball.
What about Dez? What about Dez working his ass off to get to the end zone like
That's a showing of itself. Just sometimes people question his motives or his antics or whatever, but he literally picked up half the Cardinal defensive team and carried him
too, like a linebacker.
Yeah, and carried him into the end zone, which I don't think he was quite in, even though they gave it to him. But it would have been one of those things where would he catch the ball around the 15-yard line, made a nice little nifty move. The ball was a little loose in that hand out there, Rodney. I know it makes you nervous there.
He got it tucked
here,
in.
Here it is. Here it is. Here, look at him.
12 and
1,
you know.
2, 3, 4, 5. There's about 6 players right there.
Yep.
I mean, come on, man. That's a lot of heart. And anyone that says antics, well, you know what? You're really not a Cowboy fan to say that, because if you're on the outside looking in, the Cowboys, this guy wants the ball all the time. And this year, you got to admit, fellas, he's getting a lot of looks. Right. Dak's looking his way a lot now.
Right. And you had Zach Martin and Travis Frederick trailing the play and getting a nice big hit in there to push him in. And
I love that. Hey, you know, when your offensive lineman just give you a little push or boom, there you go. You got that pop going the right way.
Look, Terrence is just kind of, oh, excuse me. No, but I agree that Dak has got to show with his – he has a big arm that he can go down the field, and you can't keep letting those safeties creep up, you know, where they're sitting there basically as deep linebackers. I mean, we got to keep them up over the top,
yes,
which allows us, you know, Ezekiel running against a 6-7 man front as opposed to a 9-10 man front.
Yeah, no, and I've said that during the Denver game, and I said it during the Cardinal game, and thank God they finally opened it up a little bit in the second half, you know, because you're exactly right. Teams are going to come play us, and they're going to say, we're going to take Elliott out of the game. We're going to try to stop him. We're going to make Dak Prescott beat us. And they're going to sit on those 3-7 yard routes, which Denver did all day, and we couldn't complete any of them. Arizona did bits and pieces of that until the second half this week. You didn't see the offense open up and start getting free and starting, you know, being more consistent until we took some shots downfield. And I'm not, again, you know, and I know I said it in our text chain or whatever, sometimes I don't even care if the ball gets picked off or it goes 30 yards out of bounds. I really don't. You know, like on third down or something, and you get third and long, take a shot. It's almost as safe as a punt anyway. So, but just loosen up the defense. You've got to do something different.
Right. And we had, and I pointed this out, and I think we always kind of go back to Aaron Rodgers as the benchmark. And I hate his Bush League 12-man on the field play, but every time he gets a 12-man on the field call or he gets the defense to jump across and get a cheat flag like that, this guy throws it down the field and his receivers know to go down and get it. And a lot of times it'll end up either as a completion or as maybe a pass interference down the field or something like that where it's positive. Either way, there's nothing lost on it. We get a guy that jumps across the line. We get a free play. And I think Beasley broke his route off at about 12 yards out, and Dak's throwing the ball downfield. And I get it. We still got something out of it. But I think they need to start practicing some of that too, where you're throwing it down and you get, hey, here comes a yellow hanky. We know it's a free play. Let's try to make it a big play.
Well, do you see how many pass interference penalties? Just watch the league on Sunday. Look, I mean, downfield, it's defensive holding and pass interference all the time. I mean,
I thought it was a well-called
Yeah, well, no, but in general, I mean,
I know, I agree with you.
The way the league has evolved calling that penalty.
That's why I was like totally like these guys are letting him play, and they're not nitpicking how DB's supposed to be playing. I thought it was a great job by the refs again.
I'm going to go totally off subject here just as a thought on something that I was thinking of. There's an issue in the NFL. I think some people are kind of starting to think it's boring. You know, there's not enough scoring, blah, 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 blah. You think they'll ever go to 1 foot inbounds like the colleges to try to call it a completion? How many times do we see that guy gets 1 foot in and the other one's out?
Ronnie, if I could address this first.
Yeah, go for it.
I don't think that would be right, only for the fact there would have been a lot more other records, a lot more other catches in the past that would have been put in the books.
Okay, you're a purist. I get it.
I just think that if they did that now, it wouldn't be right. I think stuff like that should just be left alone.
No, and I agree with you. I wouldn't like to see it change, but there was probably four or five plays in every game that I watched this weekend where it was sideline, a guy got 1 foot down and didn't quite get the other one in. And it might just open it up a little bit more if you're talking about NFL having issues with they want more and more offense, right?
Yeah,
and instead of penalizing these defensive players every time they touch them, and we see that a lot with our defensive backs.
Our defensive backs really do rape them back there. I mean, they're constantly ripping the jersey, and they're really doing some things back there.
I was going to say, I don't think changing that one rule, I mean, yeah, it may help a little bit, but in the long run, that's just one thing that, you know, I don't think changing that one rule alone would do enough to, you know, quote unquote, make the game more exciting. I think the people that think the game are exciting are all of us who have been fans and are always going to be fans. I like what you're thinking, but I just don't think that's going to be enough anyway. So,
hey, I want to give a shout out to Chris Tyler. He was at the Cardinal game. He gave us a message that him and his boys are going to be there at the game. And wow, we had a lot of Cowboy fans at the Cardinal Stadium there. And man, we look good out there. Hey, Chris, a big shout out, Chris Tyler.
Absolutely, and it used to be, I think every city, every team needs to have a good following of their own to make sure they fill up their stands. It used to be you go to Arizona game and it was all Cowboys.
Or
you go to L.A. Rams game and it was all Cowboys fans. And it's nice to see that there's, you know,
supporting their hometown.
Yeah. But there's still a fair number of Cowboys fans that get into that stadium.
Definitely.
And make it seem like a home game when we're on the roll.
And that's what I was saying when this whole show started. I think when the Cowboys make a statement, it's America's team. We represent America. That's bottom line. Like it or not out there. If you're not a Cowboy, if you're not a Cowboy fan, you're not America's team. This is America's team, boys. Boys and girls.
It is America's team, babe.
Moving on. We've got a game this week. I guess we got to stop talking about the Cardinal win. We got to move on here. And our game this week is at home, and it's against the Rams, the Los Angeles Rams now, no longer the St. Louis Rams. And these Los Angeles Rams, I'll tell you, they're young, they play hard, and they seem like they're really enjoying the game right now. They're playing really well. Anything? Nothing? All right.
They are better. They're better this year.
I'm telling you guys, if you're overlooking the Gurley and this offensive line, I really think that we're in the world of hurt if we avoid these guys, because these guys are coming here to play.
Well, they're definitely going to come to play, and if you know anything about the Rams, they were drafting for this year and next year while they were still in St. Louis. They were making these moves to come out into L.A. and try to make some sort of splash. And, you know, they're getting to that point where with Jared Goff and Todd Gurley and some of their defensive guys, Aaron Donald's one, that they're really trying to build something out there to get the fans to come out, so it's not going to be all Cowboys fans. But I would expect they're playing in Dallas this time.
Why the hell?
I know. My bad. But what I would expect a good game out of out of the Rams, but I don't think that they're going to be at the level where the Cowboys are. And I think that you're going to see Dak come in there with a little bit of chip on his shoulder saying, hey, how can you take Jared Goff above me? I'm a player.
I guarantee you he's got no regrets that he went to Dallas and did not go to the Rams. So, I mean, this is the team that he's very happy to be with, even in the fourth round. I mean, to be selected as a captain your second year, that's amazing. To wear the Cowboy uniform, to be the quarterback, and to be the captain your second year around. Boom, I think you got something. You're doing something right, man.
No, and we saw that transition last year after we lost that first game to the Giants, you know, where we were still trying to feel out what Dak was going to be. But from that second game on last year, you saw how the team rallied around him. So I'm not surprised at all that he, you know, that he's taken that captaincy. I mean, and run with it, because the guys in the huddle believe him, you know, and that's what you want your quarterback to be. So, yeah, take and run with it.
Do you guys think that in order for this thing to keep going the way it is, does Dak need to step up like he did this last game and throw the ball downfield? I mean, it seems like that's when things get going for the Cowboys. We cannot keep throwing this third down, 2-3 yard passes. It's not going to happen.
I've been calling for it all year, and I would love to. I mean, not just to first play of the game, we have to drop back down and throw a 50-yard bomb. Let's see how the game goes. But again, if the team or if LA is going to be putting 8-9 in the box and trying to stop Zeke, then yes, we are going to have to throw the ball downfield and take some chances. You got Bryce Butler and Dez Bryant, two tall, giant, athletic receivers. You can't tell me that one-on-one, so one of those guys is going to be one-on-one. Throw them the ball and let them go get it. Just let them go get it.
Well, you're exactly right. You're going to have to
watch what will happen. We'll throw an interception and everyone will be mad at me saying, see, you're stupid. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, if they're going to be playing the middle of the field and those intermediate routes and trying to stop Zeke, those are the two things that the defense is going to do. Then what should we do to combat that? Take a shot downfield.
You have to. And Dak's going to be the key to everything, which then goes back to your offensive line. If he has some protection and he can at times move out of the pocket and throw on the run and at times use his feet, it's going to soften everything up. But he can't keep throwing 5 and 6 yard check down passes. They're going to have to use his arm strength, his football knowledge, and air that ball out and get it 25, 30 yards down the field to soften him up. That you just have to do it. I think he's the key to it all, not Zeke. I don't think at this point, and most NFL teams, most how they like to build it is, we're going to build that good offensive line. We're going to control the ball and run it. I just don't think that we're at that point because our offensive line isn't quite as good as it has been. So I think the key to this year is going to be Dak Prescott throwing the ball so Zeke can feed off of that.
Go ahead, Ryan.
What I was going to just piggyback on what we were just talking about, and I think that some of the onus is going to have to be on Scott Linehan on how he calls the game, because in fairness to Dak, he was a system quarterback for the most part in college. We have, generally speaking, not that he's not – I don't want to make that sound like he's not a capable quarterback. It may come off that way, but that's really not what I'm trying to say. My point is that in general, he's been groomed as a – you know, here's your first option, second option, then you run. 1-2, run. Like, that's how he's kind of been conditioned, right? Well, in a way, it's going to be important for Scott Linehan then to call the game if those 1 and 2 options, or, you know, 1 or 2 has to be one of those ball that has to be downfield. One of those two options needs to be the deep ball, not just intermediate route, check down, tight end, running back, or whatever the case, you know, whatever the progression is. Like, they're going to have to make sure they call the game to where they allow Dak, if he sees a one-on-one receiver downfield, take the chance.
Right.
It's okay. Take the chance. If it gets picked off, it gets picked off. All right? I get it. And I'm not saying that means we have to continue throwing interceptions, but at some point in time, you just have to do something different and throw the ball down.
One thing I do love about Dak, though, is we do not have to play catch-up football like we have in the past with Tony. It seems like when when we've been behind the eight ball with Tony, it's been we got to play catch up, three touchdowns down in the fourth quarter or something like that to come back. And Tony's been masterful coming back at being behind 17, 10 points, whatever the scenario is. But Dak's almost like been one of those type of prize fighters where it's boring fight to the seventh, eighth round, and then he lets it go. I mean, he waits till they wear out. But I'm telling you right now, fellas, I picture this game with the Rams. I think it's going to be a low scoring. Maybe the Rams even have a 10-3 lead or something like that. And you know what's going to take this to another level? I think it's going to be Ryan Switzer. I think he's going to break one. I got a feeling he's going to break one. Our punter's been outstanding. Our punter is one of the best punters I've ever seen in the game, next to Ray Guy. This guy puts it inside the 5-yard line, 7-yard line every time. Every time. You know how much that helps out, Steve-O? That helps out big time.
Oh, absolutely. And going back to Switzer, he's been close a couple of times.
Oh, you're feeling it. You're feeling it. One guy away.
One more move. I'm feeling comfortable with him back there, catching the ball, making it just a little bit of, you know.
Just that one pizzazz type of move.
The little, what do they call it, the hip wiggle, you know.
But I definitely think that that's what's going to separate this and just bring everything to life when Ryan Switzer breaks one in this game.
Well, I think you saw it where we might have taken a lead or it was close there and we held them down. I think DeMarcus had a sack and they're on their 5-yard line. They punt it out and Switzer catches about our 45 and takes it down basically to their, 35, something like that. Just a couple of good moves, nice north and south running. Now all of a sudden we're at their 35, field possession because of our punter, because of our defensive line. You know, all of a sudden we got a short field and we can go after them, take the lead, and really put the nail on the coffin there, pin the ears back when we get back on defense and get after Carson Palmer and his old ass.
I mean, you think about it, Rodney. If you have a punt, if you have a punter like that one, and your defense holds, then you have a punt returner that can give you 15 yards.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you're in field goal range for the best kicker in football too.
Right. It's almost as knock on wood. It's almost like automatic points.
It's automatic points. Yeah. It's almost like playing a roulette table that you're playing 50-50 red or black all the time.
Right. Yeah. You shorten the field in half. Absolutely.
So.
Yeah. No, I hope you're right. I just, again, I would love to see him have some more opportunities and, you know, a lot of punt, you know, the hang, you know, like more than anything, ball control. Like what's not, I would rather him take a fair catch and hold on to the ball than try to do just a little bit too much and then drop the ball and then the momentum shifts the other way. It goes in the complete opposite direction.
You say that, but he knows when to do that.
So far, so good.
When we've been in our end zone, like in our 10, 15-yard line, the kid's smart about it. He doesn't do anything stupid. But when we're at our midfield, he catches the ball, you know it's going to be something special.
Yeah.
I mean, he could turn things around. Anyway, that's what we got. This game's going to be played in Dallas. What time is this going to be?
It's a noon start, I thought.
It's probably a noon game. I tell you what, I'm excited. I think we could definitely be 3-1 by the end of the day. I think, like I said, the one team that's out there right now, and that's Philadelphia, still in the area. I think now the Giants, 0-3. I think they got to be backbroken with a guy that kicked a, 61-yard field goal against them?
Yeah, that's
that was tough.
Crazy.
And I don't feel bad for him, but that's tough.
The Giants finally got over, 17 points, 20 points in, nine games? They haven't scored 20 points.
Old. They look really old.
And they're thinking, finally, we got to win. We got to win. The Eagles score, and then they kick a field goal to win it. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. John, I think they're out.
I wanted to ask you, too. This game, Dallas and LA and the Rams, you know, the line started at – we were an 8-point favorite. Now it's down to 6 is what I'm showing. But you had said that you think it's going to be a low-scoring game.
Yeah, I don't
so
like
under
this
under 48?
Being, yeah, I think it's an under 48. I think their defense, the Rams' defense, very aggressive. They play – they pursue good. They attack the ball. I just think – with their running game, I think we'll stop their running game. They'll stop mostly our running game. I think it's going to take something like a Switzer that puts us over the top and then has us carry the ball, hold the ball possession-wise. And I see this being possibly a 24-10 type of game.
Yep. I'm still trying to figure out what they are. The Rams are, that is, because they played Washington
Washington's
Colts,
not a bad
the
team 40, either.
They just gave up 39 points to the 49ers. That was the one that kind of threw. Now, granted, it was a Thursday game, so, you know, teams aren't as rested, I guess. And I don't know. I'm with you. I see a lot of that. I'm trying to figure out, you know, from the first three games of what they've played to what, you know, what we would expect them to do against us this week. I'm kind of in the middle somewhere.
Well, with those teams out in the West Coast, Steve-O, you've got that's part of what you grew up with watching. You've got the San Francisco 49ers and the Rams. Traditionally, they've always played tough against each other. You've got Seattle and the Rams and the 49ers that have always played traditionally tough against one another. So that's basically what's your call on that? I mean, that's traditional, isn't it?
Yeah, you know what? I can't remember in recent memory the favorite in the Rams Cowboys team winning. I mean, I remember going down when the Rams were favored down in Dallas, and that's when DeMarco Murray ran for like 270 yards, like the first time he ever touched the ball. I think he's still running, putting up yards against them. And there was a couple of times here where, you know, the Cowboys came in that were hot into St. Louis when the Rams were here, and the Rams put a beating on them.
I remember Romo was out one game. We had Brian Johnson playing, and then it would have been two seasons ago the last time. Yeah, and then the Cowboys were down like 21-0 early in the first half, and they came back and won that game eventually. So yeah, it's always been.
It seems like the opposite of what you would normally think, but. You know me, I'm a favorite guy, I'm an over guy, and I'm a take the give the points type of guy. So I'm a big fan of the Cowboys coming out and doing good. And I think they need to establish themselves. I think that they looked at maybe caught themselves on that Denver game not really working towards a game plan. And hopefully they found something in the second half of the Arizona game where they can really come
build
and say, here's what we're going to build off of. I think they can get to the guys. I'm not sure that the Rams offensive line is anywhere near what it should be as far as keeping us away from their quarterback, Jared Goff.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? Let's do something fun.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's throw.
I love doing fun things.
Let's go your way first, Steve-O. The entire NFL schedule for this week, Packers-Bears.
Speaking of which, I was asking Rodney this question at lunch. I know you're a big gambler. We used to be sponsored by a gambling site. But anyway, you're a big gambler, right? If I gave you a parlay sheet, you think you might be able to help me since I'm no good at this?
Entertainment purposes only, of course.
Yes, for entertainment. Okay. All right.
For milkshakes.
Milkshakes. So going off of Bears at
Bears
Packers,
at the Packers.
I'm going to take the Packers.
Then we got the Saints visiting the Dolphins. Miami.
Ooh, you know what?
That's a tough one.
Is what's his face back running for? Where's that little guy receiver for the Saints? Willie Snead. Is he back yet?
You see, you can't do that. You just gotta tell me who you got here.
Okay, I'm gonna take the home team Dolphins.
All right. Then we got Titans at Texas or Texans.
I just think that the Texans are just struggling a little bit. Give me the Titans.
All right. Jaguars at the Jets.
I think Jaguars have a little jet lag. I'm going to take the Jets at home to get their first win. How about that? I mean, I sound like I should be on a TV show.
The Saints, Dolphins, who did you take?
I went Dolphins.
All right, home. Texans, Titans.
I went Titans.
You went visiting.
Yeah, I went Jets.
Jags, you went with?
Jets.
Jets.
Panthers at Patriots. Give me the Patriots.
Patriots on that one. And Lions at Vikings.
I'm going to go with my boy Mariani. I'm going to take the Lions here.
Lions. All right. He went with the visiting team. We got the
Bills at Falcons. I'll take the Falcons.
Falcons.
Steelers at Ravens. I think it's going to be I'm going to go with the home team. I'm going to go with the Ravens.
All right. All right.
Bengals at Browns. I'm going to go home again. I think I'm going to take the Browns.
Oof. Wow.
Rams at Cowboys. Take Cowboys. Eagles at Chargers. Going all the way out to the West Coast to beautiful San Diego.
It's San Diego anymore.
I think the Eagles – yeah, that's right. I think the Eagles have to keep up with the Cowboys. Eagles have to win that one.
Yeah, Eagles win that one too.
Giants at the Bucks. I think the Bucks put a nail on that giant coffin. Give me the Bucks. 49ers at Cardinals. I'm going to go I think the Cardinals are still suffering from a bad Cowboys second half. Give me the 49ers.
Oh, wow.
Raiders at Broncos. I think the Broncos had their one magnificent game. Give me the Raiders. And Colts at Seattle. Seattle has to come back and stay in the hunt somewhere. Give me Seattle.
What about you, Rodney?
Oh, boy. Well,
Packers-Bears.
Packers-Bears-Packers.
Saints-Dolphins.
Miami's getting points at home. I'm going Miami.
Titans versus Texans.
Titans.
Jaguars-Jets.
Boy, it's a tough one, too. Boy, I just don't know what the Jaguars are, but the Jets we know are terrible. I'll go Jaguars.
Panthers at Patriots.
Patriots.
Boy. Lions at Vikings.
Is Sam Bradford going to play? Do we know?
He's doubtful still.
That's still in Minnesota.
Doubtful's not good.
Not good. Well, I'll go the home team on that one, Vikings.
Bills and Falcons.
I don't know. I'm actually going to go Bills here. I think they're going to go on the road and pick up a win.
Wow, against the Falcons. Okay, whatever. Steelers at Ravens.
Boy, Baltimore just coming back from Europe. Pittsburgh didn't look great against Chicago last week. I don't know. I think Baltimore is going to find a way to win that game.
Baltimore, Bengals, Browns.
I hate them. Both those teams are pretty awful, in my opinion. I'll go Cincinnati.
All right. And then we got the Cowboy Rams, of course. Cowboys. Eagles, Chargers.
I'm going to go Chargers. I think Philly came off a big win over the week, kind of wear out. They're going all the way out west. I think all Chargers will find a way to win that game close.
Where are they going? San Diego?
Oh, would you stop saying San Diego?
Sorry.
They're playing in like this soccer stadium or whatever the hell they're playing in.
That is so hard to get used to.
That's weird looking.
They're used to playing on real grass like that with dirt flying around somewhere. That's how San Diego is. Well, I mean, that's how they played in San Diego. Giants at Buccaneers.
I think Bucs.
All right.
Giants.
And then when 49ers, Cardinals.
Yeah, you know what? I don't think Arizona's that good. I'm going to take the 49ers. What the hell?
Okay. Raiders, Broncos.
That's going to be – I'd like to watch that one. The Raiders have come out of the gate slow. I think they'll figure it out eventually. I'll take the Raiders.
And then we have the Colts at Seahawks.
Seahawks.
And our Monday night game, I didn't get that one from you either, Steve-O.
Yeah, yeah. That'll be another good one.
Redskins, Chiefs.
C-H-I-E-F-S. Chiefs.
Chiefs are going to be tough this year.
So you got the Chiefs,
too? I'm going to take the Chiefs at home. Yeah.
Matter of fact, we might have to go drive out to that game.
Yeah, I don't mind that at all.
3.5 hours? Does the electric car get that far?
No, it's 4 hours. Three hours will be shot.
No, 3.5. That's it. Your place?
Why do you want to take the Tesla? Let's take an SUV.
It's quiet.
All right.
Light reading.
First game tomorrow night. It's going to be interesting. Bears, Packers. I don't think that's a gimme. These two hate each other. Packers. I got the Packers winning that one. Saints, Dolphins. Dolphins. Titans, Texans. I like the Texans. Jaguars, Jets just beat, I think, Miami. So, you know what? I'm changing that up again. I like the Saints to beat the Dolphins. Dolphins, I don't know how the hell they lost to the Jets. Let's go back down to Jaguars at Jets. I'm taking the Jets. They're on a one-game winning streak here. Panthers at Patriots. Let's go with the Pats. Lions at Vikings. I like Stafford in the here. I'll take the Lions. Bills, Falcons, 3-0. I'll take the Falcons. Steelers, Ravens. That's going to be what did they say? Like a rumbling, stumbling? You're looking at this type of game here, folks. I think this one's going to be hard fought. You're looking at a low scoring Steeler win. Bengals, Browns. I like, you know what, I may do what Steve-O mentioned here. I like the Browns here. I don't love it. It's a interstate rivalry here. They don't like each other, but Bengals haven't shown me anything. But Browns, they got a little heart. They play hard, but they lose at the end. But I think they'll hold on to this one. Browns win. Rams, Cowboys, I gave you that one already. Eagles, Chargers, I think the Eagles will get by this one. Giants, Buccaneers again. Who could stop this offense right now? They're playing really well. 49ers, Cardinals. I disagree with both you guys. I think the Cardinals can win this one. Raiders, Broncos. I like the Broncos here. It's hard to win in Denver, that's for sure. Colts, Seattle. I think we all agree, Seattle. Redskins, the Chiefs. Hail to the Redskins. I think the Redskins win this one and represent the NFC quite well here. I think the Chiefs go down against our NFC East foes.
I'm going to make a plea. I still don't have tickets for the Packers game when I go down there.
I didn't think you did. So why don't we focus in on this Kansas City Chiefs game, and let's just go to the Kansas City Chiefs game.
Well, I'll be down in Dallas on October 8th for the Green Bay game. I gotta get a ticket. I gotta get two tickets.
Why can't you go to StubHub or something?
Ah,
no, you'd rather do it the old fashioned way.
The old fashioned way. Beg, plead, borrow, and steal and cheat. Whatever you need to do, folks. If you like me,
you're a conservative Christian.
Yeah, that's
how they work.
Also a beggar.
Conservative.
Also a beggar. Absolutely. So, yeah, folks, if you have an extra two tickets,
yeah,
make sure you have.
They'll fly your way, I won't think.
Yeah, you already told me you were going.
I'm going.
He's just going to be outside somewhere. What a weasel.
There's got to be people that know us down in Dallas, right? We're the Cowboys podcast, for Christ's sake.
We are, but Jesus Christ, you're going to be begging for tickets?
Well, I'm going to, you know, maybe promise them a little slot on the show, a weekly segment.
We got connections with Pizza Hut.
He's striking out, man. It's a tough ticket.
A Pizza Hut administration guy is striking out.
The head of global communications.
He might just be tired of Steve begging.
If he's striking out, how the hell are we going to do anything?
He might just be tired of begging. The begging that's coming.
He's asked everybody, and he goes, I can get standing room only. I go, well, get him. He goes, oh, we're not doing that again. I got to find a way. I got to find a chair to sit in down there.
I think it may be StubHub. StubHub. Anyway, my friends, thank you so much for being part of the show, guys. Steve-O, Rodney. Hey, Cowboy fans, please chime in to our website, cowboyspodcast.com. Leave us a message. Go to our page on Facebook. Give us a nice shout out there. Whatever it is. I mean, I know things are a little controversial right now with a lot of things going on in the NFL. And you know what? Forget all that. We're all football fans. We're Cowboy fans. And let's just make things happen. The hell with everything. You know what? Everyone should just enjoy life and do what they got to do. And God bless everybody. That's the way I look at things. Steve-O, Rodney, thank you for doing the show with me. And Cowboy Nation, be safe, be great. And let's kick that shit out of the Rams, huh?
Absolutely.
I can't even say what I'm supposed to say.
Do it. Let's go, boys.
Let's go, baby.
Go, boys.
Tune in next week for another edition of the Cowboys Podcast on lineupmedia.fm. Subscribe to the show now at cowboyspodcast.com on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, and all major podcast outlets. This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.